The press in my heart is to release another piece of that puzzle concerning Hanukkah. And I want to just ask you to just close your eyes and just release this word into your heart, maybe going a little bit deeper than you've known before, because I believe that this coming December 16th, which is 2 days away, is going to be a breakthrough in the realm of the spirit, and it may cause some of these camels to dance even higher. This vision was given to the name, to the lady Kathy Pelton from Eugene, Oregon. So if you close your eyes and say, Lord, give me ears to hear,
eyes to perceive
what your spirit is speaking.
To me.
Hallelujah. On November 22nd, while I was sleeping in an airplane, I was taken into a dreamlike vision that was very significant for this coming season. In the vision, I saw a calendar and the word Hanukkah written upon it. I did not see the actual dates, only the words. I was then lifted to a higher place in the spirit, and I was aware of a deeper connection with heaven than I had known previously. I realized I was responding to the come up here invitation that God gives to each of us in Revelations 4:1. Immediately, I was standing before two large gates that were opening before me. As I looked, I realized that each gate was in the form of a menorah, and the path beyond the gates radiated light. Even though in the vision I did not pass through the gates, I was aware that soon I would do so. I then saw the number 16, but did not grasp its significance. I knew that as soon as I passed through the gates, I would enter a season of supernatural miracles and natural victories. End of vision. Before I explain my sense of regarding the vision, I should share that I had been experienced the last few days lately. I had been captivated by lanterns and flickerings of candlelight. I have felt this strong desire to buy lanterns to decorate our home, and even hung two on our outdoor entry that are lit each night with a candle. I have learned through the years that often these captivations reflect more than my natural desires to decorate and create and enjoy beauty. But they are indicators of the Lord speaking something deeper to me. The past few months, my husband and I have often focused our attention on the parable that Jesus told of the five wise virgins, found in Matthew 25, verses 1 through 13. We know that the Lord is calling us to be filled continually with oil. The pure oil is found in His presence, in both worship and prayer. The kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Notice it's the 10 that went out. Now, 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. At midnight, a cry was heard. Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out and meet him. Then all those virgins arose, trimmed their lamps, and the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the wise answered, saying, no, lest there should be not be enough for us and you, but go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. Afterwards, the other virgins came also, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he answered and said, "Assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming." Along with this verse in Matthew 25, I have continually been impressed with the verses of Scripture and words from the Lord about not trusting in the strength of man, but trusting in the strong arm of the Lord to do what needs to be accomplished. One of these passages he has been speaking to me is Psalms 147, verse 10 and 11. His pleasure is not in the strength of a horse, nor his delight in the legs of the warrior. The Lord delights in those who fear him, who put their trust in his unfailing love. Now, a few weeks ago, there was a horse shown by vision. And I reminded you that the Psalms were the ones that declared, when you trust in horsepower, what are you doing? You're trusting in flesh. If you're trusting in Holy Ghost power, your trust is in the realm of the Spirit. If your battle is against flesh and blood, then go ahead and use a horse. But if your battle is not against flesh and blood, what are you doing with a horse? You're off course, aren't you? And I believe these words were written for us at this time because of the prepared heart that God forces us to look at. Several months ago at the feast, that picture that's put down in front of this altar here, because I believe it's an altar of the Lord, depicting what he wants. He wants your Jewish background to be a part of the roots of the church, this church. We're not supposed to be like all the others. We're supposed to be separated unto him. And in case you forgot, Jesus was born and brought up as a Jew. Yes or no?
Yes.
Okay. And it's by faith that Jesus was able to please the Father. Look at your neighbor. Say, it's by faith that you're going to please Papa.
Not by trusting in horses.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen. He also focused my attention on Zechariah 4:6. Then he answered and spoke unto me, saying, "This is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts." What is Hanukkah? Hanukkah begins on the 25th day of Kislev on the Jewish calendar. It is based upon two miracles, a great Jewish military victory and a miraculous supply of oil for the temple. Where's the temple now? Yeah, we are. Although Hanukkah celebrates military victory, a desperate outnumbered group of Jewish guerrilla fighters known as the Maccabees triumphed over a mighty Greek Syrian invader in the 2nd century before Christ. So that's 200 years before Jesus was born. The holiday's major symbol is the menorah, a reminder of the miracle of the oil. After driving their oppressors out of Jerusalem, the Jews began the process of cleansing the second temple, since it had been desecrated. While seeking to rebuild the altar and light in the menorah, the Jews discovered only one flask. Watch this part. One flask of untainted oil. for the eternal lamp. I thought that was important. Untainted oil. Meaning you can have tainted oil. Okay? Kind of cool, right? Just enough to keep it burning for one day. But somehow the flames continued to burn 8 days and nights until more oil could be procured from afar. That miracle is the reason we celebrate Hanukkah for 8 days, and also why Hanukkah is called the Festival of Lights. The verse in Zechariah 4:6 inscribed upon the menorah in Jerusalem that stands across from the Knesset, Israel's parliament, it serves to remind us not only of military victory, but also of ultimate triumph of God and the spiritual victory of the Jew over his oppressors. As I sought the Lord for his interpretation of the vision, I felt he gave me the understanding that as we pass into the season of Hanukkah, we will be passing through a gateway in the Spirit and stepping into a path leading us into a time of miracles and victories. I sense that we will see supernatural miracles that bring natural supply. Try it on for size. Say, I sense now. God is preparing us. For supernatural miracles that will bring natural supply. We will be ushered into a time of miracles in the earthly realm that brings victory over large enemy forces that have intimidated and oppressed God's people for too long. I hear God saying, enough. Though we may appear outnumbered by these oppressive armies, as we keep the oil of prayer and worship burning and put our trust in the fear of the Lord, he will give victory as he did during the Maccabean revolt so many years ago. As I mentioned in the vision I saw in number 16, right after seeing the gates fashioned like two menorahs. This year, Hanukkah begins December 16th. Notice I put the calendar there. Is it bright enough? And ends December 24th, which is Christmas Eve. Say to your neighbor, it was planned ahead. It is interesting that Hanukkah falls on the eighth day leading up to the Christian celebration of the Christ. I believe that we are entering a season leading to the time that the veil will be removed from the eyes of the Jewish people so that they can see their Savior, their Redeemer, etc. 2 Corinthians 3, verses 13 through 16, Romans 11, verses 25 through 32. Additionally, the menorah on the two gates each contained 8 candles for a total number of 16. Biblically, the number 16 is symbolic of love. 16 is the names of and titles for God. In the Old Testament, especially signifying his constant, never-ending love for the children of Israel. In the New Testament, 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 through 13, lists the 16 qualities of God's love. Get a load of that one. That Paul informs us we should have as well. Love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast. It is not proud, it does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no records of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. Say amen. Amen. Why am I pressing this into you? Because God is pushing so that we will not be focused upon me, myself, and I anymore. That's a false god. He is not to be worshipped. He is not to be bowed down to. But to choose to trust. On December 11th, the Holy Spirit was pushing my buttons. I mean, no, he likes to push buttons on anyone and everyone that he sees and plans for. He was sending me to Hebrews chapter 11. I don't need to go there. I don't want you to go there. I just want you to listen. Because I was in a place in God, trusting him, but looking at my circumstances instead of looking at him. And when I start looking at my circumstances, I usually get in trouble.
Amen.
Amen? Okay. So he reminded me that, you know, Moses, Abraham, all of these men and women had faith to believe for the impossible. So I read Hebrews 11, and he told me to read it out loud. Well, you say, why? Because he likes to establish his word every day. And he was pushing my buttons. Then he said, I want you to take your red pen. I show you the evidence of my pad. Everything is written in ink, but there's a section that's written in red. How many know that you can get a Bible with a red letter edition? I got mine, because he's still writing his history in me. So he said to me, I want you to begin in 1977. That's a few years ago. Okay. And the only one that I can, let's say, verify that I am speaking the truth is to look at Mary, because she was a nice little teenager then. This is what he told me to write. So I'm just going to repeat to you, because I'm reading today, if you notice. I'm reading it as written. By faith, when you spoke to me in 1977, I went to see Father Levesque with Ray DeMers, and he gave permission to start a prayer group at St. Anne's Church. I want you to also know that later on, I learned that someone else had actually asked the priest for the same permission, but they had been denied. But because God had already prepared me to be the executive board chairman 2 years before, he couldn't say no to me. Look at your neighbor, say, it's all been set up. By faith in 1980, you spoke to me, and it was time to sell the store. And in 1981, by faith, I prepared to put it on the market. And in September 1981, we started the going out of business sale. And by faith, we hired only believers. And by faith, thank God for the completion of a miracle. And as revelation was given to me, I stepped out in faith and took the first mortgage on the building. And Mr. Pease, even when he was in trouble, reorganized the loan and extended it in the 1990s. Only you, Lord, could have done such things. All this was by faith. By faith, I saw Gino and started to study for 3 years. By faith, in 1986, February, we started the prayer line and counseling center. It was rejected in 2002. By faith, we celebrated the Feast of Tabernacles in my backyard with three tents. And in 2003, March, we incorporated the House of Prayer for all nations. By faith, I trusted your next revelation, Jesus. Thank you. By faith, not knowing what's ahead, not understanding, and I'm not proud in what I can say I did, because it was his doing.
Amen.
And I'm pushing your buttons today because I believe that the revelation he wants to bring us into by faith is that on the 16th, he's going to do something special.
Amen.
And he's going to open that door for those 8 days for you to see things that you've never seen before.
Amen.
And for opening up things that only he can do, not you.
Amen.
Trusting the stupid horse you've been riding is not God. If you trust that horse, how dumb can you be?
Amen.
Horsepower is wonderful in your car, but it's not good on you.
Amen.
Oh my God. There was an opportunity there for an amen. A lot louder than that.
Amen.
Amen.
I want you to lift your right hand to the Lord. Say, we're celebrating today.
We're celebrating today.
An opening of a new door. Gates that will open up.
Woo! Come on.
That we'll celebrate the light of Christ.
Yes.
Not in somebody else's life.
But in my life.
And you're going to give me grace.
And by faith I'll walk through that door.
And it will be
a
sign
to me
that we've entered a new season in spirit. Because it's not by might.
It's not by power.
But it's by the Spirit of Most High God. That I'm going to go forward.
I'm
going to believe for the impossible.
Because the impossible is mine in Christ.
Because I'm a faith believer.
And I'm choosing to believe.
The best for me and my house.
The best for me and my house.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.